Now the news. I'm Shane Bigham. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's arrived in Guangzhou for a six-day visit to China. She's set to talk with Chinese officials in Guangzhou and Beijing. Yellen's also expected to meet some economic experts and American business leaders in China. Her visit comes following a phone call between Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. President Joe Biden on Tuesday, as the two sides seek to increase high-level communication. This is her second trip to China since last summer. Huang Fei has more.
Yellen will be staying in Guangzhou for 2 days, and she will have many discussions with Chinese officials and U.S. business representatives. Tomorrow, she will host a roundtable discussion with economic experts to discuss the challenges and opportunities in China's economy. And she will then meet with Guangdong Governor Wang Weizhong. In the afternoon, she will attend a MCHAM event, again talking to representatives of U.S. business leaders, as well as to give remarks on bilateral economic ties. She will then meet with Vice Premier He Lifeng, and their talks will be extended, are expected to carry into the next morning, which is Saturday. In the afternoon, she will then depart for Beijing, where she will have more discussions with high-level officials, including the Chinese Premier and the Central Bank Governor.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi has met Timor-Leste Minister of Foreign Affairs Benedito dos Santos Freitas. During the meeting in Guangxi, Wang stated that China was the first country to recognize Timor-Leste's independence and establish diplomatic relations. He said bilateral cooperation will focus on four major areas determined by the leaders of both countries, including industrial revitalization, infrastructure development, food self-sufficiency, and improvement of livelihoods. The chair of the Philippine Senate Committee on Foreign Relations has voiced her disagreement with the government's recent measures to counter China in the South China Sea. In the statement, Aimee Marcos said that such actions are leading the country down a dangerous path. The statement came after an executive order created a National Maritime Council, allowing the Philippines to accept donations and contributions from domestic and foreign sources to enhance its defense buildup. The senator added that her country should instead seek solutions for peace, warning that every action that may put Filipinos in danger is a gross irresponsibility, and it must be avoided at all costs. Rescue operations continue after the most devastating earthquake to hit Taiwan in 25 years. Authorities say at least 10 people have been killed and over 1,000 others injured after a magnitude 7.3 earthquake off the island's east coast. More than 220 aftershocks have been reported in and around Hualien. The tremors have brought down buildings and triggered widespread power outages, affecting over 360,000 households. Patrick Falk reports.
Well, look, we have got a fresh update on the number of people that are needing to be rescued. Authorities are now saying that there could be around 700 people that are currently stranded, as far as we understand. According to reports, about 650 of those are in contact with authorities, but they are, as I say, stranded. A further 42 are unaccounted for and are missing. So that suggests that the number of casualties and possibly even the death toll could still rise in the coming days.
Health Ministry in the Gaza Strip says the number of deaths from ongoing Israeli attacks has exceeded 33,000. The ministry also says over 75,000 others have been injured since the Israel-Hamas conflict broke out in October last year. Meantime, the Palestinian Social Development Ministry says continuous Israeli bombings resulted in the deaths of more than 14,800 children, and around 17,000 children in Gaza have become orphans. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov says Russia-NATO relations are worsening, but Moscow has no intention of entering a conflict with a NATO country. His statement comes as NATO marks its 75th anniversary. Russia says NATO is a de facto party to the Ukraine conflict, as it's provided Kyiv with advanced weapons, training, and intelligence. A New York judge has denied Donald Trump's bid to delay his April 15th trial until after the U.S. Supreme Court reviews his claim to presidential immunity. The former U.S. president has been charged over hush money paid to an adult entertainer. The Supreme Court is scheduled to hear Trump's arguments on his immunity over the 2021 Capitol riot case. Public hospital doctors in Kenya have rejected a government offer to end a strike. The doctors are demanding the payment of unpaid salary and the immediate hiring of trainee doctors. And that's the news. I'm Shane Bigger.